Hello, everybody. Good morning and welcome to Spinal Network's Let's Talk About Life podcast series. And that name may change. In the future, you're going to hear this music playing in the background, and then this graphic will come up with the name, whatever that name may be. And then it'll fade out and you'll see my smiling face. So today, joining us today is Jamila DeCarli with the Workability 3 program. Welcome, Jamila.
Thank you. Thank you for bringing me on board for your podcast, Guinea Pig. I certainly don't mind. And I'm glad to be here and looking forward to having a simple conversation, just like we do when we get together out in the community.
We often do. And one thing that always seems to come up in our conversations is how much we enjoy our coffee. So the first question is going to be, are you currently drinking coffee? How strong is that coffee? And how do you take that coffee?
This is a really important question. And I'm so glad you asked. And I have to know how you take your coffee as well. Yes, I do have coffee and it is pretty strong. I've been told the strength level of the coffee that my wife and I make is next to poisonous or toxic. I don't know, but it's really strong, really dark. We measure about, for 6 cups of water, 5, you know, heaping scoops of coffee. Yeah. And then, you know, then we do the really bad, bad for you creamer, the Coffee Mate, I think it's the stuff that does not go bad after probably 2 years of sitting on the shelf. So, it's probably the worst thing I do to my body. But it's delicious. So,
well, yes. I've got to say, I've got my coffee as well. And I like it strong and I take it black.
All right.
I go right to the heart.
Okay.
So let's start off. How about if you give us a little bit of your background?
Okay. And you know, for those who might be listening to the podcast with vision impairment, I thought I would do, and this is good practice to get into, right? Just a brief kind of, you know, description of what I look like. So I am a white woman with, brown long hair with some highlights, and I wear glasses, and I'm sitting in front of the camera with a kind of leopard print, faded leopard print shirt and a blurred background. So my pronouns are she, hers, trying to get the pronouns in there as well. And it is great to be here. I am a little bit about myself. So I'm 45 years old. And since I was entering my career, I have worked for the San Diego Community College District. So it's been 21 years now. So I have worked for a very long time for the same employer. I've been lucky enough to spend many of those years working with the Workability 3 program. And I'm currently serving as the coordinator. So what that program does, in just a nutshell, is we provide vocational services to individuals in the San Diego community with disabilities who are both clients of the Department of Rehabilitation and taking classes with the San Diego Community College District. And I can get into a lot of those details later if you want, if you have questions. Mm-hmm. But key thing is I love my job. I love the community that I support and work with. And I just feel so lucky. Like, I'm one of those folks that gets to go to work every day, well, whether it's remote or in person, and really enjoys what they do, you know, and I think not everybody feels that way about their job. I truly, really enjoy the work that I do.
That's so important for anybody who's spent years in the workforce. You know, when you wake up in the morning, I mean, you really, nothing beats that feeling of, I want to go to work. So, and just, I should, for those who are visually impaired, I'm 66 years old, 45 years post-injury, spinal cord injury. I have, well, for the most part, we're just going to say I'm bald.
And a little peach fuzz.
Just a little bit. Yeah, yeah. I have a charcoal gray collared shirt on, and I wear glasses. And my background is the Spinal Network logo, which is blue lettering with an orange squiggly in the middle. I don't know how else to describe that other than a squiggly. So
you did great.
There we go. Perfect. So 21 years ago, you went to work for this. How did you come about? I mean, how did that decision come about to work with the disability community?
I like to describe it as somewhat of a happy accident. I grew up in the Salinas Valley, which is in like central Northern California. Mm-hmm. I went to a community college. I thought I was going to major in linguistics or speech pathology. And I went with the speech pathology, which for undergrad was communication. They've changed the name since, but communicative disorders. And so that was, I transferred to San Diego State and I got my bachelor's in communicative disorders. And then I was like, kind of in my last semester, and I wasn't really sure what I was going to do. And I was taking a class in deaf culture, which was like an elective course. And I was like, it felt familiar. It felt like, you know, the people there, the instructor, you know, the students, they really, it was something different out of the whole undergrad experience that really kind of struck me. And I was like, this is great. I've never really met so many deaf people, wasn't really that familiar with, you know, the disabled community. And I had a conversation after class one day with the sign language interpreter who was assigned to the class. And she was just talking and she said, oh, you know, what are you going to do after, what are you going to do when you finish? I'm like, I don't know. I'm kind of burned out. And, you know, the speech pathology kind of feels like really clinical. Like I feel like I want to connect with people on a more personal level. And she said, oh, you have to check out the rehabilitation counseling program. And I, like most people, it's like, what is rehabilitation counseling? What is that? And she was just raving about this program. And so I meandered over to, you know, their department, and I just kind of inquired and I asked, you know, what is this, you know, and then was met with a really enthusiastic advisor. And he basically, in a matter of maybe a half hour, convinced me to go to grad school and join this program and major with an emphasis on working with deaf and hard of hearing. And so that was sort of my launching into, you know, the world of disability, was actually learning how to work with the deaf and hard of hearing community, who, you know, and the whole concept of rehab counseling is to help individuals with disabilities to prepare for transition or retransition to employment. And so that was a very long-winded explanation of, you know, how I ended up kind of getting my intro into working with people with disabilities. But I really got my hands-on experience when I got an internship with City College. Then I started working part-time for Workability. This is like in 2001. This was a while ago, or 2000, I guess. And really just through my work at the community college, I've gotten to work with so many different awesome students. My screen is blipping. I'm sorry. I lost you, Rick. I have all these systems open, and like when something closes, it like flashes and then I lose everything. But worked for many years in the community college setting with students with a range of, you know, different disabilities. I feel really, you know, as an able-bodied person, but someone who, you know, I think representation is important and transparency is important. So I do identify as a person with a psychiatric condition. I have depression, I have anxiety. So I feel like in some ways, you know, I can relate to people who have, you know, challenges in that area. And that is so many people, right? Because, and it doesn't mean, you know, the people that we serve with our program, the highest, I guess, like the, what am I trying to say? The most common disability or condition is psychiatric, and that could be primary or secondary. So you could have someone with, you know, a mobility disability, but oftentimes, you know, they will be experiencing some kind of, you know, secondary mental health condition, you know, whether it's a PTSD or anxiety or depression. It's super common. So,
well, you know, mental health is, you know, finally, I mean, really so many years too late, but at least it's been pushed to the forefront of conversations, you know, across the globe. And it's so important that I mean, it was always the hidden, you know, you wouldn't want to talk about that. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm depressed. Oh, you don't want to talk about that. You know, I'm anxious. Oh, you don't want to talk about that. Well, which just led to, you know, a more severe degree of anxiety and depression because you couldn't talk about it, you know? Sure. So it's as prevalent within the disability community, you know, as it is, you know, amongst the able-bodied community.
Yeah.
It's funny, you mentioned you're able-bodied, and years ago, my friend Larry and I, and Larry was my peer mentor. So 45 plus years ago, he's my peer mentor. And, you know, after a couple sessions, I became a peer mentor and worked with him and then on my own, but we became just the best friends until 1998 when he passed. But we, you know, we used to refer, if somebody was able-bodied, we referred to them as TABS, you know, temporarily able-bodied.
Oh, really?
You're one incident away from, you know, from joining the team.
Absolutely. I was thinking about that this morning, actually. And I was thinking about like how to introduce myself. And like, you know, I thought, oh, I should mention, you know, I'm able-bodied. And then I was thinking like, kind of along that same line, you know, it's like, but it's only a matter of time because we're all going to, you know, decline as we get older, you know, in many ways, you know, our vision, our hearing, you know, our physical abilities in so many different ways that we are all working closer to becoming, you know, less able than we have been. And that's where it's like, you know, I hope that people that are able-bodied that have never thought about what the perspective is like from, or just what the perspective is of someone with a, you know, significant disability, that they can put themselves in their shoes, so to speak. And they start realizing like, you know, this is, you know, disability is a part of the human condition. It is normal. It is just another aspect of being. And I think, unfortunately, it just takes, you know, getting closer to that or having a personal injury or experience or someone close to you to make people kind of realize that, you know, this is, you know, people with disabilities, they are a minority, but they're like the largest minority there is. And it's only a matter of time. But T-Tabs, that's funny. I've never heard that before. Yeah.
You know,
I like that.
Here's a question for you, because it's our connection, you know, and how does Workability 3, how does that program fit with Spinal Network and what we're trying to do, which is that the, you know, a focus on education and employment and getting people back to work, because when you become gainfully employed, I still remember all those years back, you know, I had the opportunity to go to school and I thought, oh, this is great. So I went to school and I spent the next 12 years, a little off and on, but for the most part on, the next 12 years in school. You know, I had an associate's degree in liberal arts general studies, because when I went to community college, it was like a kid in a candy shop. And I was taking classes, soil conservation, you know, classes all over the place. And after, so I spent 3 years in a 2-year school, and there was no focus. So all I could come away with was a liberal arts general studies, you know, degree. But I said, okay, it gave me that chance to experiment. And I ended up with a degree in physical education with a concentration adaptive PE. And I ended up teaching PE. I graduated in the first year I was subbing. So I subbed in PE, I subbed in all different classes, adaptive PE. I coached 3 sports. I was the assistant freshman boys basketball coach. I was the defensive back coach for the freshman boys football team. And I was the head varsity tennis coach. And at that time, wheelchair tennis was a big thing, and I was playing a lot. So all of a sudden, it was a great thing, because I got out there with the boys playing. And so it gave them wow, look at this, you know, coach can play, you know, and their parents. And we had just a wonderful year. And then, but I realized I would have to teach full-time, coach 3 sports, and work a summer job to make ends meet. Back then, you know, because I think you started at 18,000, you got paid $500 a season to coach, and then whatever I made at the summer camp. So I went back to school and got a degree in marketing, in business, with a concentration in marketing. And through the years, I've been able to meld the two together. But it gave me that opportunity to apply for a job with Everest and Jennings in Camarillo, California. You know, and E&J was the largest manufacturer of wheelchairs in the world at the time. And so I got a marketing position there, and which launched my career in that industry, where I spent 32 years and before I left to run the nonprofit. So that was a long-winded explanation. I know I started here and probably ended up somewhere there, but
it's okay. I'll find it, and I'll take it and run with it. We always do this anyway. But that is the nice thing. That's one of the nice things about education, is that it is accessible, that it gives people an opportunity to reinvent themselves if they want, you know, I really feel like education is a huge component and key to successful employment. I mean, that sounds kind of like it's a very simple statement, but it's true. You had asked about Workability 3 and, you know, how what we do kind of, you know, is in alignment with, you know, the objectives and mission of your organization. And I like to think of us as like at the cross section of where employment and education intersect because mm-hmm. we do serve students, right? College students with mm-hmm. disabilities in the area of employment. So it's kind of like we can help. And our goal is to, you know, to help give individuals, you know, the skills and develop the confidence and create the connections that will help them become the most competitive job candidates possible. You know, we do focus on helping them, assisting them with locating competitive employment options. So we do not support the supported employment model. We're really, you know, there's a shift away from that and a real desire to have individuals really integrated into the general workforce. And so what we do is we, you know, we help individuals on an on a unique individual basis, and we can help them with experience while they're in school or after they graduate. And our students have, they're so diverse in terms of their interests, their pathways, their backgrounds, and their disabilities. We may have some folks that are 18, just got out of college, just got out of high school, and they're just starting college. We have some folks that have bachelor's and master's degrees that are coming back for brushing up or retraining or, you know, completely reinventing themselves in the area of employment. We have some individuals that are, you know, they spend some time in community college and then they transfer on to four-year universities. So we meet each person where they're at, and we, you know, we are working with our agency, the Department of Rehabilitation, which funds our program. So we work in partnership with them, and they come up with the plan with each client to focus on a particular vocational goal. Right. And so they come to us and it's like, you know, okay, here is your IPE. And it states that, you know, you are working toward becoming, customer service agent. I don't know. And it's funny because a lot of the time, by the time I receive the paperwork and a meeting with the student, they're looking at me like, what is that goal about? Like, did I sign that? You know, and they're like, no, I want to go into real estate, or I want to go into IT or computer science. And they've changed their mind. And so I think the nice part of being, you know, in a community college is that they have the chance, like you did, you know, to kind of like pivot and redirect and like try different things. And sometimes that can be a little bit challenging working with a state agency like Department of Rehab, but we really try to work in a team approach to make sure that everybody's on board if somebody wants to change their mind, because it's all about client choice. You know, we can't decide what they want to do for a job. And sometimes, you know what, someone's 18, 19, they're just looking for a part-time job just to get experience. And that might be huge for them. And that might be the number one experience that kind of informs shapes the direction that they want to go in.
When I was injured and it was Mass Rehabilitation Commission, MRC, because it was back in Massachusetts. And I still remember my counselor, Richard Potsabe, who I remember in the beginning, just thought, some of the questions, I thought, oh my gosh. And you know, we'll pay, you can go back to school for either bench work electronics or accounting. And I'm sitting there going, what's this guy talking about? I have no interest in either of those. But I also realized that if I wanted them to pay for me to go back to school, that I better show interest in one of those, at least to get into the program, which I did. And then when I got in the program, you know, we had many a meeting where he said, what are you doing? I mean, this is not along the track that we've talked about. And I said, you know, Richard, I said, you know, and I would explain why. And as time went on, we became friends, and he understood me and what you know was driving me, and he supported everything. I mean, can you imagine? Here it is, you know, the late 70s, and I want to transfer to Springfield College in Springfield, Mass, and enter into the physical education program. And Springfield College at the time was on a trimester schedule. And they put me off for the first trimester. And a friend of mine worked there, and he happened to be actually on that board that they were discussing. And he goes, Rick, it's hilarious. I mean, they're trying to figure out what to do with you. Because this school was built in the late 1800s, you know, so there were some new buildings, but there were also some very old buildings.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, my grades were such that, I mean, it would have been tough for them to deny me, you know, access to the program. So, yeah, it you know, I ended up going there. But then it was to get, you know, Mass Rehab to fund that. So, I mean, Richard had to really go to bat to get that approved, but he did. So, you know, here's some advice. You know, whoever your, you know, DOR counselor is, get to know them and explain yourself and let them know where you're coming from, so that, and because if that's the case, then you're gonna, it'll be an easier process, you know, if you have their support and they know where you want to go so that they can help guide you on that journey. So
yeah. And I just to kind of piggyback on that advice too, for folks that are listening in and like wondering, like, if it seems like a lot or kind of unsurmountable, or maybe just really intimidating, to think about taking that next step or that first step toward whether it's college or it's, you know, applying for services with Department of Rehab, whether it's applying to a job or, you know, getting your feet wet with volunteering, just like, you know, especially for individuals that have had an injury and are dealing with, you know, just adjusting, you know, to the injury. Everybody's process is different. You know, not everybody is going to be able to, you know, is going to be ready to, you know, sign up to do all the things and, you know, be in school, you know, jump into school full time and know exactly what they want. It doesn't, there's not always like a linear, you know, your pathway. And so I just, you know, part of what I wanted to mention is just to really encourage people who, you know, maybe just thinking about like what that first step is going to be. And maybe Rick, maybe you have some ideas too, but I just want to say that, you know, the San Diego Community College District has a wonderful non-credit program for individuals with disabilities and tons of other classes for, you know, anybody, but the educational assistance classes under the Disability Support Programs and Services, DSPS program, is wonderful. And it's a really good, safe, supportive network for those who are just thinking about maybe taking a class in, you know, exploring different careers. Maybe, you know, there's a class there's so many things. There's adapted PE classes. It's virtual now, so it's a little bit, you know, you kind of, you might be following instructions and, you know, kind of sitting, you know, in your living room and doing, you know, but the key is to, you know, be active, classes in communication skills. There's all kinds of cool things that, meet, you know, the classes meet like maybe once, twice a week. It's like an hour or two commitment. Mm-hmm. And it's just, we also have our acquired brain injury program too. So, for individuals that might have sustained a brain injury who are, you know, mitigating that and trying to relearn and refocus and reassess, what direction to go in. There's a phenomenal award-winning, amazing program, the Acquired Brain Injury Program, through the San Diego College of Continuing Education. So I just want to encourage people to, if they're not quite ready to take a huge leap, then, what is the next little step? And doing that could give you access to, a program like Workability 3, where, and that might be down the line, but we work with individuals to help them get ready to go back to work or to go to work for the first time. And so we offer services in a real supportive, environment. We meet people where they're at, and basically, step by step, come up with a plan that works for them that will hopefully allow them to achieve employment.
So when they're at that point, how do they apply to Workability 3? And what's the criteria? I mean, you have to have a case open with DOR first.
Yeah, that's one. They need to have a case open. But if they are not yet connected with Department of Rehab, I can connect them. And I can connect them with one of our liaison counselors, and basically get the ball rolling. It does take a little bit of time, dealing with any kind of state agency. There's paperwork, there's forms to sign, there's application, there's things to fill out. But once you get through that and you meet with the counselor, you open a case, meaning you've identified a vocational goal and determined what kind of resources and services and planning is involved, then you can ask for a referral to our program. The only other requirement is that you're taking some kind of class with our college district. And our college district is comprised of 3 credit colleges. So San Diego Mesa College, City College, and Miramar. And then we have the College of Continuing Education, which is our non-credit arm, which is the most flexible. And I think, under-known and underutilized gem in our community, because so many classes are offered in so many different areas, CTE programs. You can get your high school diploma. You can take enrichment courses. So it doesn't matter to us what the person's taking. They could take one class in creative writing if they want to, for free. And then if that qualifies them as a community college, it does qualify them as a community college student. So then they could, be eligible to work with us. We're pretty flexible. If people want to get into our program, we'll get them in there. We'll figure it out. There's not a huge process in terms of you have to apply for financial aid and, you have to register for 12 units and you have to be in school for 3 years. That is an option, but it's not a requirement. So yeah. Pretty flexible to get in. We can work with individuals for however long is needed, as long as they're participating and they're making progress. So and we need students right now. Turnout's kind of low, or referrals are kind of low right now. It's October, almost Halloween in 2021. And I think a lot of people kind of they've sort of been isolated because of the pandemic. And there is still a lot of, there's concern and there's fear, but we are ready to support our community and welcome anybody who's interested. And if you want to provide my contact info, I don't know how that works. I guess I could just give my email. It's J D Carly, which is J D E C A R L I at sdccd.edu. And I welcome any questions about anything. And it's Jamila, rhymes with tequila. De Carly, so being happy to hear from you.
If you didn't get that, there's no reason why, because it's recording and you'll be able to back it up and listen to it again. So before we close things out, I know you're involved with other groups, and one is I believe you might even be chairing the group. How could you share that?
Yeah, there's a few things that I'm involved with outside my role as the workability coordinator. There's a few things. So one is I serve on the Buchanan Parsons Trust Committee, which is a group of us that meet. It's shepherded through and organized through Madison High School, which is kind of like the hub for where instruction is provided in sign language to high school students. And so they have a lot of high school students that are deaf, hard of hearing. So that the trust allows a lot of opportunities for youth with hearing disabilities. And so we can fund things like the Deaf Prom. It's like there's a regional Deaf Prom that, you know, happens once a year. They have sports and a deaf bowling league. They have scholarships for students. So it's really fantastic. So I love participating there and just giving, giving my support and I don't know where I'm going with that, but that was basically it. And then I am part of the what's called the Higher Minds Coalition, which is spelled H-I-R-E. So the focus of the Higher Minds Coalition is on supporting folks with psychiatric disabilities and mental health conditions. And it's a bunch of us from different agencies in the community who get together and provide opportunities to elevate the discussion around mental illness and dispel stigma and bias and really have conversations about how to support each other and how businesses can do their part in being active with recruiting individuals who have psychiatric and other disabilities. And so actually we are working on our next job fair, which occurs every 3 months. And that I think it's November 18th. I'll confirm that. But it's at the Mission Valley Library, and I said, where's the Mission Valley Library? It's next to IKEA and Costco off Fenton Parkway, right there in Mission Valley. And we have usually about 10 employers. And I wanted to mention it to this group because it's not just, you don't have to have a mental illness to participate. It's open to anyone. And it's a really good opportunity to go to a facility that is accessible and, where there are employers that are there to talk to you about their opportunities. So it's a good way to kind of, practice and get out there and start talking to people. And then I'm also the chair for the district's committee for community inclusion and diversity, DCCID. And we do a lot of cool and interesting things in terms of workshops, webinars, facilitated groups where we're learning about different elements and aspects of diversity, including disability. So I've got some cool projects going on internally with the San Diego Community College District to support our students, but also support our employees in gaining an understanding and awareness of different perspectives from the disability community. So I'm really honored to get to do that work and have some cool things on the horizon with that too. So I'll talk with you offline about that, Rick.
That's one of the things too, that with Spinal Network's executive board and our executive committee, which by the way, Jamila is on our executive committee, is just working on inclusion to be, we do an okay job. There's certainly room to make that a better and more inclusive world within Spinal Network. So, um, But you know what? I mean, that's why we're, you know, we just, it's always something to do to take it to the next level. And that's something that we are talking about and working towards. So.
I love it. And I welcome those conversations, because the more we can be intentionally inclusive toward individuals, you know, in the mobility community who have other identities besides, you know, being disabled. It's like, that is kind of the unifying factor, but there's, you know, there's a lot of different aspects of who we are, right? And I think it's important to try to reach out to those communities,
Intersectionality.
Yes, that yes. is.
Yeah. Yes. And I also want to say that I'm a co-conspirator. So, so think about that one.
Yes. Maybe that's a good good topic for your one of your next podcasts.
I think it is. I think so. Well, Jamila, thank you so much. You know, I was a little nervous. This was our first one. And I thought, oh, are we going to be able to, you know, fill the time? Oh, yeah.
No problem.
We could, yeah. Yeah,
then if I people thought, are still listening.
And I thought, oh, wait a minute, it's myself and Jamila. We could probably go on for another hour, but I don't know how many people we'd still have with us. So if you close your eyes, use your imagination, you're going to hear this music, this outro going through, and the graphic on the screen. And again, I want to thank Jamila for being part of our very first podcast. And for everybody out there who's watching this or planning on watching it, thank you for that as well. So
thank you, Rick. And thank you for doing something a little different and maybe a little intimidating. I think I mentioned, I've been saying yes to everything. And even, you know, some, you know, and I think there's a saying that says, you know, do one thing that scares you every day. I've been meeting that quota. So, and this wasn't scary, but yeah, I thank you for making this happen. And I look forward to maybe being on future podcasts in the, that are,
to be a more,
you know, have the intro and the music and all that yes. fancy stuff, but yeah.
And a name. We'll even have a name for the podcast series. So, okay. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Jamila.
Thank you. Have a great Halloween.
Thanks.